May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
This is a part I love so much in this story. And we've been emphasizing this, and we're CTKers. You'll get to hear this in more detail on Sundays eventually. This beginning, or this arching of his signs, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So this is the part that fascinates me, that of course these were disciples, of course they were believers, they had left everything to follow him, and yet it says that his disciples believed him after this. Because there's something about this story, this arch miracle, that causes believers to believe more, to believe different, to believe, I think, more childlike. And what Jesus did here, it said, now what happened was, this was a young couple, I guess. His mom was invited to the wedding. He was invited to the wedding. His five disciples at this point were invited to the wedding. And it's the bridegroom's responsibility to pay for the reception party after the wedding. And one of the most important parts is to provide wine. What they were facing was humiliation. Now think about this story is that when Mary went to Jesus and said, they have no wine, it wasn't because she was just observant. She had heard it, the conversation, the whispering, people going to the bridegroom, maybe the bridegroom's father. Because you just don't do that. That's humiliating. That's embarrassing. And so the word's getting around to the people who are noticing. And maybe even for a while there, he was telling the servants, don't pour him whole cups. Just give him a little bit. This has got to last. This is all we have. But when it got to the point where they ran out, I can only imagine what the father of the bridegroom, the father of the bridegroom, the bride, those who knew what they were feeling, the anxiety, the sense of there's nothing we can do about it. And so then when Mary goes to Jesus and says, they're out of wine. And what I love about it is that this miracle express the fact that the Father, Jesus, who revealed the reality of the Father, cared about unnamed people because they ran out of wine at their wedding. That was a big deal to him. But in the process, it says, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. What manifested his glory? The fact that he did a miracle? Yeah, but I think more than that. Manifested his glory because it revealed the fact that he's good. But he actually does care about things that might seem insignificant in terms of world events. They were had worth to him. You know, for all my Christian life, I've always loved it when people said things like, trying to help people with their self-image, they'd say things like, and God established your worth by the price he paid for you. The price he paid for you gives you worth. But the truth is, and the Lord told me that this morning, he said, the truth is it was your worth that established the price. There's a huge difference. In Romans chapter 9, it says that very thing right after he gets through saying, and who has the right to complain to God saying, why did you make me the way I am? And then the very next verse explains, because you have such worth in who you are that the price that he established that reflected your worth was that he himself would become a human and be tempted in every way like unto us and die our death. Wow. So these people mattered to him. So one of the cool things in this story, that's the discipleship building thing that builds believing in disciples, is the fact that as this drama, this crisis was building, there was just their crisis. You know, just this young couple, wasn't like the world was at stake. But it was important to God. As this thing was building, and finally the word is we're done. We're down to the last drop. The party's not over, and there's no more wine. I would imagine they felt things like hopeless. It's run out. We tried to stretch it out, and it's run out. It's too late. We can't do anything about it now. And one of the wonders of this story is that when you Oh, and by the way, and when Jesus stewarded the Father, because the Father did the work through him, the Father was woven into the very existence of Jesus, just like you are woven into the existence of Jesus and he's woven into your existence, is that when Jesus did what he did, he took six water pots that were like 20 to 30 gallons each. So that's like 150 to 180 gallons of the best Napa wine in history. French wine. Because they said it was the best wine. And when people realized that, whoever they were, came to the bridegroom and said, "What have you done?" They said, "Everybody serves the best wine first. And when everybody's had too much wine, they serve the worst wine because nobody can tell the difference." And so what Jesus did here, he didn't just step into a situation that looked hopeless, looked like it was at the end of the rope. He stepped in and did something beyond anything anybody's ever seen, beyond imagination, beyond any hope or expectation. They were just hoping. I'm sure we wish we had some more of the crummy wine, because that's what you do. So maybe you're going through something, or maybe you will go through something. I guarantee it. In this world, you'll have tribulation, and one of them is going to be, there are going to be some things that are going to happen in your life, and it seems like it's never going to go away. That it's too late. It's gone too long. It's gone too far. You ever been there? And that's an indicator to you. If you feel that way, if it seems that, it's just gone too far. It's just been too long. It just seems now too impossible. It's just not going to happen. We're having to just deal with this. We're having to just whatever, live with the consequences. Those are indicators, according to this story, that should build our faith, that Jesus is about to step in, do something that's going to blow your doors off. That's going to be bigger and better than you ever imagined. Amen? Amen? I mean, are y'all dead out there? Good Lord Almighty, this is big stuff. And so what do I do until then? Just do whatever he says and keep doing it. You're not here because you decided to come here. I'm not sure what you did with your schedule, how you worked it out, or how many days you've been planning this. You're here because he's excited about you being here. And he's excited about you being here because he wants you to encounter him. He's going to encounter you even if you don't know what it means to encounter him, because he loves you that much. And every one of you, he's going to do something for every one of you. It's just who he is. He's been looking forward to this day that he's arranged for a long, long time. So I hope you're as excited as he is, because I can tell you, he's giddy. I saw a picture of him inside of me a few minutes ago. I don't think I've ever seen this before. Like an American Indian, like dancing around doing the hooping thing. And I thought, what in the world are you doing? He said, it's a war dance. He's here because he's already declared war on anything that might represent oppression from the enemy. And the enemy's been defeated. And Jesus is here to enforce the no trespassing. Amen? Amen. So lift your expectations and understand how stunningly giddy God is. He saw this day 2,000 years ago from the cross. He had a pretty good view. It's like the best tree stand in history. He saw this day all the way back then in anticipation of embracing you and changing your life. So raise your expectation. Just join him. You don't have to be any more excited than he is. But if you'll just be willing to be as excited as he is, that's about the right place to be.